Would it change relations with Iran much if the Revolutionary Guard were declared a terrorist organization? We're going to put that question and others now to Philip Zelikow, who was executive director of the 9/11 Commission and later a senior advisor to Secretary of State Rice. He's now back at the University of Virginia, where he's a professor of history. And welcome to the program once again, Professor Zelikow.
Thank you.
First, the U.S. has declared armed political movements like Hamas and Hezbollah terrorist groups, but is there any group comparable to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards who are in that category?
If the president signs a new executive order saying this, or they use an existing executive order to designate the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, what's new about that is you're saying, here's a major agency of a government that we're designating as a foreign terrorist organization. All the other foreign terrorist organizations on the list, and there are more than 40, are all non-state entities. Here's a state entity of a significant government that we are going to designate and treat as a foreign terrorist organization. But it's still an unprecedented move, at least in recent times.
Now, I want you to describe the Iranian Revolutionary Guards are not just a military regiment or the equivalent of that. They actually have extensive assets in Iran.
People think of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps as kind of this military or paramilitary elite. But actually, it's a large military-industrial complex inside Iran. Kind of like the SS in the latter part of Hitler's Germany, they've acquired ownership of very large state enterprises and have an industrial sector of their own, and from which they derive revenue, even apart from whatever they get from traditional government appropriations.
But if the United States has already maintained sanctions against Iran, what's added by the sanctions that flow from being from this wing of Iran becoming named a terrorist organization, if it is?
It's really the logical playing out of a position that our government already has. We've already designated the government of Iran as a state sponsor of terrorism. But because an agency of that government is actually engaging in terrorist acts outside of Iran, actively working in other countries, we've now designated that agency as being the equivalent of a foreign terrorist organization. It's not a new finding, but now we're playing out in terms of our administrative regulations, the logical implications of that conclusion.
Is it, in effect, then, a step up, an incremental step up, a ladder of threats and statements against Iran, something short, well short of threatening attack, but saying we are this much more against Iran?
It's adding some more bricks in a wall that the United States has already been patiently assembling and is urging its allies to contribute to assembling. Part of the context for any new move on Iran is that at the moment the United States is actively working with its allies on a third United Nations Security Council resolution sanctioning Iran for its refusal to obey the international community's wish that it should abandon its nuclear weapons program. And in the setting of the United States working with allies to develop new sanctions on Iran, on that agenda, the United States is adding some more bricks to the wall of sanctions isolating Iran by making it clear that it regards the Revolutionary Guards as a foreign terrorist organization, and that has a significant symbolic message as well.
Are there any other bricks, to use your image, that could be added to that wall, short of threatening airstrikes against Iranian nuclear installations?
Oh, absolutely. Another important diplomatic move that one could make is really to begin making it difficult for Iran to participate as a normal partner in the international financial community. I mean, after all, here's a country that is defying multiple UN resolutions. And so at one level, it's international outlaw. Yet even though it's an outlaw at the front door, it walks out the back door and trades and has everyone treated as if it's a normal member of the community. If the international community says that if you defy these resolutions, we can't have normal commerce with you, then life becomes much more difficult for Iran's leaders, and the consequences of their defiance of the international community are brought home to them in ways that then force them to make some new choices. And let's see how they make those choices before the United States moves to contemplate even more serious options.
Well, Professor Zelikow, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
It's Philip Zelikow, who spoke to us from Charlottesville at the University of Virginia.